Lethbridge Stewart called out, "Enter." A door opened, and a familiar figure walked into the room. Tall, at just over 6 foot, with brown hair which had once been ginger, evidenced by the copperish tint to his thick eyebrows, under which sat unusually blue eyes, wide and with more than a hint of perpetual humour in them. A couple of things had changed since Lethbridge Stewart had last seen the young man in Bledo. First, there was his uniform, which showed a transfer had taken place. No longer a green jacket, but now one of the Royal Scots Guards. Lethbridge Stewart couldn't help but smile at this, still amazed after all these years at the clout Hamilton held. Second was his rank insignia. When last seen, he had borne no insignia, as was befitting a rifleman. But now he wore on his sleeve the single chevron of a lance corporal. "Congratulations on your promotion, Lance Corporal Bishop." The man smiled and saluted. "Thank you, sir. Reporting as ordered." Of course, usually such an adjutant would be a junior officer, or under special circumstances, a SNCO like a sergeant, but Hamilton had pulled some strings and assigned Bishop to Lethbridge Stewart, complete with promotion. Already Hamilton had set Bishop on the fast track at Sandhurst. Bishop would be a junior commissioned officer, and just the man Lethbridge Stewart needed. In the meantime, "I take it that General Hamilton fully briefed you on my assignment, and the role you play in that?" Bishop nodded. "Sir?" "He also expressed the importance of not discussing it with anyone outside this office." "Quite so. It is vitally important that we, play this close to our chests. The safety of the United Kingdom rests on our shoulders, and I can assure you it's quite a weight. Officially, I'm here to support Lieutenant Colonel Grierson in orchestrating the smooth running of the shop window for the country. Unofficially, however..."
"Understood, sir."
Lethbridge Stewart invited Bishop to take a seat and outline the current state of his assignment. Judging by the look on Bishop's face, it was less exciting than he had hoped. The young man would soon learn their assignment was heavy on administrative duties, with very little actual action and much poring over reports of potential alien activity. But that would change, given time. Lethbridge Stewart still believed he was right, despite the most recent goose chase. He had seen enough in London and Bledo to be convinced. Besides which, there was the obvious cover-up at Wembley Stadium last Sunday, the latest suspicious instance in the past month. Several times now, Hamilton had hinted to knowing more than he was in a position to let on about. For now. Sometimes it was a longer game of patience that needed to be played. 3 weeks earlier, a black cab pulled up outside No. 18 St. James Garden, and Anne Travers reflected on the way her life had jumped to such a different track in such a short time. Returning to England back in February had never been the plan. For the last 5 years, she'd been travelling the world, learning everything she could, not only about new and revolutionary scientific principles, but also about other cultures and the way they saw the world. There was so much to learn out there, so much to see and experience. She loathed the idea of being tied to one place. Her thirst for knowledge couldn't abide stagnation. She had settled for a short time in America, becoming involved in a think tank there, but she'd been dragged back by an important telegram from her father. She couldn't deny that what she found in London had been extraordinary, and her research into everything the great intelligence had brought to Earth had pushed her knowledge into new areas of discovery. Just studying the nature of the web that had surrounded London opened up all kinds of possibilities about networking information, without the need for wires and radio transmissions. Nonetheless, she wasn't keen that her new job now meant her being mostly secluded in the secret vault, which had been founded by the Ministry of Technology, all part of Harold Wilson's mandate of stimulating a major national effort to bring advanced technology and new processes into industry. Somehow Anne doubted, though, that the goings-on in the vault were what the MPs had in mind when they passed its formation in the House of Commons. Her role in such a place was certainly not what she had planned.